A reading from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Here ends the reading of the Christmas proclamation. Several years ago, I had the great idea of bringing my family to a state park to go hiking. Now, this is one of my favorite things to do, to walk in the woods, and it was a perfect day. Like, the weather was perfect, beautiful scenery. It was that time of year where there's no more mosquitoes or ticks. Like, it was wonderful. And so we started our hike, and my whole family was cranky. And I started getting cranky because the whole rest of the family was cranky. So we made it through the hike. And at the end of the day, we came home with some amazing pictures where everybody looks happy, where it seems like we are this family that's living our best life now on the best day ever. But as you just heard, the story behind that picture, they were a little bit less than ideal. The story behind the pictures is a little more complicated. And isn't that sometimes how family gatherings can be? Or sometimes how life can be? We get this ideal picture of how things should go, how we want them to go. And sometimes they don't quite live up to that ideal. Or sometimes we see the pictures of other people's lives, and we're like, why can't we be like that? Don't we deserve that too? Or sometimes the story of our lives is a little bit more complicated and a little more challenging than we'd ever hoped. As we reflect today on Jesus' birth, I think Mary and Joseph would get all that. We see the drawings of them on Christmas cards, or the nativity scenes on lawns, or the nativity scene right here, and it looks so ideal, so peaceful, so calm and bright. But the story behind all those images is so much more complicated. It's so much more challenging than what Mary or Joseph had ever hoped. As we started the story, Mary is due to deliver Jesus anytime now. And thanks to an emperor's decree, she's forced to travel far from home. At this time, there's no high-tech hospitals she can go to. She should be surrounded by female relatives who are going to help her through the birthing process for her first child, which at that time was much more dangerous than it is today. I can't imagine how terrifying it would be to have to travel and have strangers help you in this vulnerable time. There's no petitioning of the emperor for them to say, you know, this really isn't a good time for us. Can we do it later? He doesn't care. He wants as many people to be registered as possible so he can collect more taxes from them, this already oppressed people. So Mary and Joseph, this first Christmas, end up in a distant town far from the needed support of family. It is not the ideal situation, and it's not how Mary and Joseph would have chosen things to go. And yet Jesus shows up anyway. On top of being far from home, Jesus is born, and an exhausted Mary and Joseph suddenly find themselves with shepherds knocking at their door to see their new baby. I think it's pretty safe to assume that Mary and Joseph would not have been happy to see these guys show up, at least not at first. As I've shared in years past, shepherds were really despised by people. We see kind of this picturesque scene where they're here, but they were despised by people like Mary and Joseph then. They grazed their sheep on other people's land. They were considered immoral and impure because they couldn't keep up all the purity laws because they'd be out with animals all day and night. An early rabbi said that shepherds were untrustworthy. They weren't allowed to be witnesses in court. And yet, these people seen as untrustworthy get welcomed into Jesus' presence anyway. Somehow, God chooses them to be the first witnesses of this good news of great joy that is truly for all the people. And throughout the whole Bible, again and again, we see God showing special care for those who get pushed aside, special care for those no one else notices, special care for those experiencing poverty. And we see this throughout Jesus' own ministry. I remember someone once asking, why does God show so much care for those who are experiencing poverty? And this person went on to say, God's preference for them, God's preference for those who are on the margins, is given not because they're more deserving or better than anyone else, but God cares so much for them because no one else does. That first Christmas, Jesus shows up in this unideal setting to reveal a God who is for us and for every single person on this planet. And if we are to follow this Jesus, then we take on a practice of faith that also reveals care for those no one else will care for. And if we do anything other than that, then we might be following something other than Jesus. It's one reason why tonight we're sending all our offering beyond the church. Why a third of it is going to go to people who are experiencing disasters around the world. Why a third of it will go to Love Inc. and our community to help people who are in crisis right now. Why a third of it will go to Backpack Ministry to help children with needed food on the weekends or on the long breaks throughout the school year. Jesus shows up where people most need God, exactly when they most need God. And so we too try to be with those who most need God in the moments they most need God. This past week, I listened to a podcast with Kate Bowler, and as she introduced the podcast, she shared, it's that time of year, the one where we're supposed to wrap things up, tie them in a neat little bow, and move on. But then she says, but what if the year didn't sparkle? What if it was more tears than triumphs? More chaos than clarity? And she shared how many people had confided with her how lonely they feel. And she said, just this past week, I had an acquaintance say that after a medical procedure, she had nobody she could call on to pick her up. And she kind of had to lie to the hospital and get the Uber driver to sign her out so she could be discharged from the hospital. And she is so unbelievably lonely, she feels very, very mentally fragile. Kate Bowler gives witness to this person's experience, maybe inviting us to think about who do we know in our own circles that can relate to that. Or maybe some of you feel that way here tonight. She went on to say, I have another friend, and they're waiting for a heart transplant for her husband, and this is a young couple. And in a world full of people, there's not the right kind of being withness that they need. And I love that word, withness. Being, we're making it up, it's a made up word. But this being withness, it's those times when someone can totally relate to what you're going through because they've been there. Or maybe they haven't been there, but they completely listen to you and truly hear what you're experiencing, not what they think you should be experiencing. And they enter into the hurt and the sadness and kind of hold space for you there. There's a being withness in that, a being withness that we each need. And perhaps that's why God chooses to be born to the most ordinary parents who are going through a hard time. Maybe that's why God chooses the disliked shepherds to share the good news. Why, in spite of this less than ideal situation, Jesus shows up exactly there anyway, where things are not tied up with a nice little bow, where life is more chaos than clarity, where there are more tears than triumph. Because the entire ministry of Jesus is about this, a being withness with us that we need. A being withness that I know some of you have shared in big ways for each other or with me when life is less than ideal. And that kind of being withness gives witness to Jesus. So this Christmas, if your happy holiday pictures show the true picture of your life right now, or if the story behind them is a lot more complicated or even painful, what we are promised, even if we can't feel it right now, what we are promised is that Jesus, God with us, shows up with us there anyway. Thanks be to God. Amen.